We put our hope in the one to come, the promised one who comes from God to bring good news of salvation. We hope in the one who will lead us to walk in the light of the Lord. We hope he will not let us live in dark valleys, but on high mountains of God. We light this candle in hope.
On the day
we remember to hopefully look for the coming of Christ.
As we continue our time of worship this morning, our scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. Over the coming weeks, we're going to spend our time in the Gospel of Matthew, looking and considering the events of Christ's birth from Matthew's perspective. And as such, we begin today with Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. Hear now the word of our Lord. But nobody knows when that day or hour will come, not the heavenly angels and not the Son. Only the Father knows. As it was in the time of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the human one. In those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. They didn't know what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. The coming of the human one will be like that. At that time, there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, stay alert. You don't know what day the Lord is coming. But you understand that if the head of the house knew at what time the thief would come, he would keep alert and wouldn't allow the thief to break into his house. Therefore, you also should be prepared, because the human one will come at a time that you do not know. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again so very much for this day, for this time that we can gather together. During this season of Advent, we await. We are expectant and hopeful. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this your word, and we pray that you would be with the words that you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. The passage we've just read is an interesting passage, to say the least, one that is concerned with the return of Jesus Christ. And I know what you're thinking. This isn't a Christmas passage. Well, I hate to break it to you, but Christmas is still 4 weeks away. We're in Advent. The 12 days of Christmas, does anyone know when that starts? Christmas Day. I know, I've shocked a lot of you this morning. I'm sorry to do that so early. We're in the season of Advent, and this is an Advent passage. The season of Advent reminds us that we continue to wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. And as we prepare for celebration of his birth, so we prepare and continue to be mindful of his return as he promised to us. On the first Sunday of Advent, we invest in and we celebrate our hope in the coming of Jesus, both again as the child in the manger and as our returning king. The main point of Jesus' message here in this passage is for us to wait and to wait appropriately. This is timely information, I think, for us, because we're not typically a people who like to wait. I don't think I've ever waited appropriately. I've waited anxiously. I've waited unexpectedly. I've waited angrily, but not often appropriately. Right out of the gate in this passage, in verse 36, Jesus tells us that nobody knows when he will return. I don't know about you, but this is very comforting for me. This is a great relief because it reminds me that Jesus doesn't expect me to know everything. And I can rest easy. And you can ask me a question. I can say, I don't know. I don't know. And after he tells us this, that nobody knows, we're given two examples of waiting. Two examples of bad waiting. Meant to help us understand how we can wait well. The first example he gives us is telling us that we mustn't be like the people in Noah's day. They were so focused on the present that they couldn't look beyond their own needs. They were so focused on the here and now that they couldn't think about anything that might be coming. They were so focused on what they needed that they refused to think about what was necessary. And because of that, they ignored God. We see that they busied themselves with eating and drinking. This is a typical admonition of those wealthy who continued to do things that suited only them, and often at the expense of the poor and the needy. But then he also adds that they were marrying and giving in marriage. And so there was this time of celebration, this time of looking inwardly at what was going on here without any thought of what was going on out there. And I wonder if they had looked up for even a moment, maybe there would have been more than eight people on the ark when the time came. We often bemoan the fact that God kills countless people through the flood. But have we ever considered that they just simply didn't listen or didn't want to listen? Does anyone know how long it took for Noah to build the ark? 120 years. Just process that for a second. If I see someone, even if I think they're crazy, doing something for 120 years, I would like to think that I'd start to think maybe this is significant. Maybe this is going to happen. Maybe this is important. For 120 years, that's a lot of lead time. That's a lot of waiting on Noah's part. But the people were too busy eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And we have to consider and ask ourselves this morning, what do we busy ourselves with that distracts us from seeing and hearing God? And especially, what will we distract ourselves with during this season that might distract us from hearing and seeing God? We mustn't be like the people in Noah's day. Secondly, we mustn't be like the owner of the house who is so preoccupied with when the thief might come that he doesn't attend to the needs of the present. He is so focused on what could happen that he's not spending any time with what is happening. Anyone ever fall into that boat a time or two? When will this sermon end? You're so focused on that, you're not here. No. He's so busy worrying about the future that he cannot be mindful of the present. He doesn't enjoy what he has because he's worried about what he might lose. Now, it doesn't say that the thief is coming, but it says if he knew when the thief was coming. So he's preoccupied with that knowing. And we already know that only the Father knows. He wants to know things that are beyond his status. We see that in Genesis, don't we? Eve wants to know more than she's supposed to know. And I wonder this morning, how often do we worry too much about the future? How often do we worry about what we don't know? And again, when we do this, it's to the detriment of the present, of those that are here now. And there's a sense that we need to be mindful to enjoy the goodness of God now, to enjoy what God is doing for us now, not thinking about what he may or may not do later. The answer to my sermon's title, Who Knows, is simply this: only the Father knows. God knows, and we can rest in that. Ours is the task not of knowing, but of developing a life of watchful living. In both of these, there is a sense that we need to be in constant preparation for the return of Jesus. Constantly being mindful that he is returning, but that we have things that are necessary to be done. Things that he has called us to. People that he has brought in our path. There is work to be done, and we need to be busy with that work. This lifestyle focuses on growing in God's grace and taking life day by day while always being ready to receive Jesus when he returns. And I don't know about you, but I've seen Jesus return many times in people that he's placed in my path, in those that I've been able to assist, and those who have come alongside and assisted me. Let's not be focused just on his physical return, but let's be focused on every moment that he shows up in our midst. When we wait expectantly, when we wait hopefully, we will be able to see and hear God now as he prepares us for his future, for his plans, for his desires. Let's try our best. I'll make a deal with you if you make a deal with me. Let's try our best not to get too caught up in this season as we often do. Deal? Yeah, right. Let's try. We're all going to enable each other in this, I know. Instead, let us enjoy this season as a time for preparation, a time of recognizing who God is and who God wants us to be. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you have given to us. We thank you for this, your word, and we pray that we would hear it, that we would respond to it, and that we would be faithful to it. Lord, forgive us those moments when we stray. Thank you for constantly receiving us back, and help us to be mindful of all that you have done and all that you continue to do in our midst. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.